Good morning, everybody. I must say that you are a bunch of hardy souls. For those of you who are listening to this tape, as you know, it's a big, big snowstorm in Yerushalayim, and as usual, the city, of course, is paralyzed, except for those who want to study Torah, who've made it here, and Carol Moore gets special mention. She's made it down from Ein HaNatziv, all the way from the north, all the way down to Yerushalayim in order to be here this morning. And I am so happy that I came out. What a shand it would have been. Carol comes from Ein HaNatziv and I can't come from Har Nof. But I came. Not only I came. Huh? No, you get one. You'll get a copy of the tape. More than that, of all things, I left my home in Har Nof at 8:30. And since nobody was going to come here, I had to go to somebody's house in order to pick up the keys in Nayot. And I came here at 8 minutes to 9, which I'm never able to do on any day of the year. It's because there was only one Mishugana on the road from Har Nof. I think we have to give special mention to Neve Yaakov. What time did you leave from Neve Yaakov? At 8 you left. And buses were going, was it 25? The 25 from the... Now listen, as Carol says, if Eged goes, he goes. I tell you what, they didn't cancel school? Well, if they didn't cancel school, then the Jerusalem College for Adults is going to go on as usual. What occurs to me now is last year, there was a snowstorm Parshat Bo. On Wednesday, Parshat Bo. And I remember I dedicated the shiur then to the meaning of snow, nature. This time it's Parshas Bishalach. If anybody's going to ask, like what happened over here, we'll tell them 2 inches of snow. So my friends and family in Toronto, New York, and East Lachen, 2 inches, but they said that it may continue through the day, and it's not going to let up. My rain. All right. Anyway, we're going to learn. Hardy souls, neither snow nor sleep nor gloom of night stays Jerusalem College for Adults from its shiur. The parsha this week is Parshat Bishalach. You're going to have to follow me through a number of psukim, and we're going to ask a series of questions, and there's going to basically be one answer for that series of questions. Vayehi bishalach paro et ha'am, when Paro sent out the people. V'lo nochom elokim derech eretz plishtim, God did not lead them in the path of the land of plishtim, kikarovu, because that's too close. Now, the quickest way out of Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael is along the coast, through the Sinai Desert, Rafiach, Chan Yunis, Ritzuat Aza, Ashkelon, Ashdod, there you are. You're in the land of Plishtim. The land of Plishtim is the Gaza Strip. Aza, Ekron, Gat, Ashkelon, Ashdod. These are all the land of Plishtim. The simplest way would have been to go straight up, but God did not lead them straight up because he was afraid. Ki amar alakim, because God thought, pen yinachem ha'am berautam ilchama v'shavu matzrayim, lest the people regret their exodus out of Egypt when they will come face to face with war. The people living in Plishtim are not going to simply permit them to come through. There will be war. Now, if they know that they've come as the crow flies straight across the Sinai Desert, then they would be able to immediately turn around and go back. So therefore, God is going to take them on a circuitous path. They're going to begin moving to and fro, back and forth across the desert, so that in a sense they will have lost their bearings and won't be able to make the thrust straight into Canaan, and therefore will not be able to withdraw, retreat, run back to Mitzrayim. Vayaseh Elokim, therefore the next pasuk says, Elokim turned Ha'am, the nation, Derech HaMidbar, toward the desert, Yam Suf, in the direction of the Red Sea. The Chamushim Alu B'nei Yisrael Mi'eretz Mitzrayim, and the children of Israel went out of Egypt, Chamushim. What does chamushim mean? Rashi says two pshatim on the word chamushim, alu b'nei Yisrael mi-Mitzrayim. Two pshatim. One pshat Rashi says v'chamushim, ein chamushim ela mezuyanim. Chamushim means they were armed. They went out of Egypt armed. The second pshat that Rashi says is chamushim, one-fifth. One out of five went out of Egypt. What does Rashi mean, one out of five? Rashi says, to the Medrash, that the other four-fifths died in the 3 days of darkness. What I believe the Medrash means is that there were Jews who were lost, who were assimilated into the Egyptian society. Over a period of 200 years, unfortunately, this is what has happened to Jews in all of the lands of their exile. A certain number, and usually a large number, are simply submerged, overcome by the dominant culture, and they're lost. Do we have any idea? I don't think we can even calculate how many Jews in America have been lost to intermarriage and assimilation. Over the last 50 to 100 years, certainly millions. That's currently, but I'm taking a cumulative one. I believe a number of times I've told you that my father, Olam HaShalom, my father of blessed memory, asked us in the 40s, come on in, a number of hardy souls have just arrived. Interesting that the men come late and the women were here bright and early on time. Okay, all right, that's just the... That's the pat on the back, right? Okay. Yeah. Don't take it too seriously. Don't take it. I say that my father, Shalom, asked us, and I've mentioned this on a number of occasions. There were three of us, sons, brothers. He asked us in the 40s, how many Jews are there in America? Zugme, bifli yidens an fanan an America. And we told him 5-6 million. He asked the question in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, and we kept telling him 5-6 million Jews in America. In the 70s, he asked again, Biffle Yidens are founded in America, how many Jews are there in America? And we told him 6 million. He says, I don't understand. In the 40s, I'm giving 6 million. In the 50s, was 6 million. In the 60s, and still in the 70s, what happened? By the normal patterns of growth, there should have been 20, 22 million Jews in America. We can't calculate how many were lost. In a sense, this is what I believe the Medrash is telling us. In the darkness of Egypt, there were many Jews who were simply overcome by the intensity of the dominant culture. But that's really not what we want to talk about. What we want to talk about is there are already a number of problems that arise in these first two psukim. In the first two psukim of Bishalach, and we're going to ask a series of questions, and there's going to be one answer. The first pasuk begins, Vayihi, and it came to pass, Bishalach Paro etam ben Paro sent out the people. Is that what we say in Hallel? B'tzeit Yisrael Mitzrayim, when Israel went out of Egypt. There's a difference between Israel going out and Paro sending them out. And right here in Pashat Bishalach, pasuk 8, in chapter 14, it says, "Vayechazek Hashem et leiv Paro Melech Mitzrayim." God strengthened the heart of Paro, the king of Egypt. "Vayirdof acharei bnei Yisrael," and he pursued the children of Israel. "Ubnei Yisrael yotzim biyad ramah," and the children of Israel went out with a high, strong hand. At the very beginning, it says, "Vayehi bishalach Paro et am." Paro is sending them out, and then at the end, it says, "And the children of Israel are going out." Is he sending them? Or are they going on their own? Are they being pushed? Or are they marching out? Contradiction. Stark contradiction. In these first two psukim, there's a serious problem. The problem is, on the one hand, God is not going to take them the straight route to Eretz Canaan through the land of Philistine, because he's afraid they're going to come up against war. They're going to go running straight back to Mitzrayim. But wait a minute, what did we say at the end of the second pasuk? V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael, and the children of Israel went up chamushim. Chamushim means that they went armed. Who goes out of Mitzrayim armed. Who prepared armaments in Mitzrayim? What kind of slaves were they that made the implements of war so that when they go out of Egypt they should be armed to the teeth? People who are ready to do battle. If they're ready to do battle, why is God afraid? Oh, they may see war and they're going to go running back. Let's go further. The next Yuksukim tell us that Yosef had made his the children of Israel swear, take an oath, that when they go out of Egypt they're going to take the bones of Yosef with them. And Moshe, therefore, in Pasuk Tet, Moshe is the one who takes the bones of Yosef out of Mitzrayim. They journeyed from Sukkot and they encamped in Etam at the very end of the Midbar. And then it tells us that God went before them with a cloud of smoke during the day, a cloud of fire at night, in order to lead them day and night. Chapter 14, we're going to read another few psukim, and we're going to see how the problem intensifies. We already have two questions. We'll review them. We have two questions so far. Vayadaber Hashem el Moshe lemora, and God spoke to Moshe so saying, Daber b'nei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, v'yashuvu, and they should turn back, v'yachanu, and they should encamp lifnei pi hachirot bein migdol bein hayam. They should encamp before pi hachirot, between Migdol and the Yam, before Baal Tzfon nichol tachanu al hayam, someplace on the Red Sea where they're facing the Sphinx. And then, therefore, why should they do this? Because then Paro is going to say about the children of Israel, Nevuchim heim ba'aretz, they've become confused in the land. Sogar aleihem amidbar, the desert is closing in on them. They're confused because he's going to be getting reports. Rashi tells us that he sent his agents along with the Jewish people, and he's getting reports that they are zigzagging through the desert. They're even moving now in a direction closer to Egypt. Something has gone seriously wrong with this great march out to freedom. And that's precisely what God has in mind. Let Paro think that they are confused. I would say that maybe this falls into the category of the first act of disinformation. You have to give the enemy, you have to confuse the enemy. So you confuse the enemy by leaving the impression as though, you know, we don't know whether we're coming or going. So they confuse the enemy. And Paro is going to say about the children of Israel that the desert is closing in on them. V'chizdak v'yadleiv Paro, and I will strengthen the heart of Paro, v'rodav hachareyim, and he will pursue them. V'kobdav v'faro, and I will have honor and glory through Paro and all of his hosts. V'yadu Mitzrayim, and Egypt will know ki ani Hashem, that I'm God. V'ya'asu kein, and they did so. Now as I read the pasuk, there's a problem here too. God is giving them instructions to turn around and start moving closer to Egypt. And it says, Vayasu chen, this is a great question. It says they did so. But wait a minute. God is afraid that these people will see war. They're going to tremble. They're going to run. Now what they are really doing is an act of great bravery. They've been fleeing or marching or running out of Mitzrayim. The maddest thing to do is to turn around and begin to move closer to Mitzrayim. What's the most normal thing to do? Get as far away as one can. And God is concerned that they are frightened. And here it says, God tells them, move in the direction of Mitzrayim. Start moving toward Mitzrayim. And they did so. It was told to the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Paro changed with regard to the people, and they said, Mazot asinu vei, what did we do? Kishilachnu et Yisro mi'avdenu, that we sent Israel out from serving us. He prepared his chariot, he took his people with him, 600 chariots. And all of the infantry of Egypt and all of their officers, and God strengthened the heart of Paro, the king of Egypt, and they pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel, Yotzim, went out biyad dama, a high hand. So this question we already asked. The parasha began with Vayihi b'shalach paro etam. Paro is sending them out, and here it says they're marching out. Are they being sent out, or are they marching out? The questions are going to become even more intense as we continue on. So let's take another few psukim. Vayirdifu mitzrayim achareihem, the Egyptians pursued them. Vayasigu otam chonim al hayam, and they caught up with them and camped by the sea. Kol susudecha paro, all the horses of the chariots of paro, paroshav, and his riders, v'chelo, and his army, al pi achirot l'fnei baal tzvon, near the Sphinx on the yam. Paro hikriv, paro drew close by Yisu b'nei Yisrael, if they now watch, there's going to be an extremely important question, a contradiction that's so stark between this pasuk and the next. Paro draws close. Vayisu b'nei Yisrael et einayim, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, Mitzrayim nosea achareihem. Mitzrayim is journeying after them. Vayiru miyod, they became very frightened. Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael al Hashem, and the children of Israel cried out to God. Rashi says, what does it mean they cried out to God? Beautiful Rashi. Tofsu unut avotam. They took hold of the art of their fathers. What was the art of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov? The ability to stand before God and pray. And Rashi brings, by Avram it says, El Hamakom Asher Omad Sham, he came back to stand in the place before God. By Yitzchak it says, Yitzchak went out to speak with God in the field. By Yaakov it says, By Yivka Bamakom, he arrived at the place, Har HaBayit, where he saw the angels of heaven going up and down the ladder. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, at moments of crisis in their lives, they turned to God and prayed. By Yitzhak Uben Israel, the children of Israel cried out to God. I just want you to imagine the scene. The scene is extremely important. It's night. A few million people, a slave people that have marched or been thrown out to freedom, are encamped along the banks of the Red Sea. On the beach. And here they hear in the distance, growing closer and closer, they hear the hoofbeats of the cavalry of Egypt. The tanks, the chariots are coming. They are literally caught between the devil and, I would say, the deep Red Sea on the other side. This is a very dark moment in Jewish history. They are going to be thrown into the sea. Paro maybe was the first one who said, we'll drive the Jews into the sea. And Yael Dayan's friend Arafat also is looking for the same thing, to cast them into the sea. Okay, that's right. All right. Anyway, here they're caught. So what do Jews do? They cried out to God. Now let's try and read the next pasuk. Let's try and read the next pasuk, and we're going to see the difficulty is simply going to throw itself in front of us. They're davening. Vayomru el Moshe, they said to Moshe, Hamibli ein kvodim b'mitzrayim, there aren't enough grave sites in Egypt. Tachtanu lamud b'midbar, you took us out to die in the desert. Mazot asidolan, what did you do to us? Lahotzionu b'mitzrayim, to take us out of Egypt. That's precisely what we said to you when we were in Egypt. Leave us alone. And we'll serve Egypt. We'll work for them. It's better that we should work for Egypt than dying in the desert. How are we to read Pasuk 10 together with 11 and 12? Here are people in Pasuk 10 who are turning in prayer to God. That means at the moment of crisis in their lives, they know on whom can they depend and to whom do they turn. They turn to the Benishon, God in heaven, just as Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Can you imagine that from the mouths of these people will come the statements in Pasuk 11 and 12? They say to Moshe, aren't enough graves in Egypt that you took us out over here? That's what we're telling you all the time. Leave us alone. We'd rather be enslaved to Egypt than die in the desert. How are we supposed to understand it? This is a stark contradiction. There's a Ramban over here. I'm going to read the Ramban, and on the basis of this Ramban, we're going to understand not only Parashat B'Shalach, I'm going to demonstrate for you that we will understand Shemot, Bo'eda, Bo, Shalach Yitro. We're going to give you a rule of thumb. And the rule of thumb emerges from the words of the Rambam. I'm going to read, not too difficult, and I will translate. Einenu nireh, he says, it doesn't seem to make sense. Ki bnei odom hatzoekim el Hashem lahushiyam, people that are crying out to God, praying to Him that He should save them, yivatu b'yeshua asher asalhem, should reject the great salvation that He did to them. It just doesn't make sense. People who are turning to God in prayer are going to say, what did you take us out of Egypt for? Can't be. V'yomru, and yet they should say, ki tov lahem shelo yitzilam, it would have been better if you wouldn't have intervened on our behalf, better we would have remained in Egypt. Aval hanachon l'fadesh, here is the clue to it all. Hanachon l'fadesh, the correct way to understand this all, ki hayu kitot, there were different groupings of Jews. Hayu kitot, there were different groups. V'hakatuv yisapeh, the pasuk is telling us, masha osu kulam, what they all did. There was one group that stood up and said Tehillim. There was one group that cried out to God. And at the same time that one group is crying out to God, while there's one group that is acting in the tradition of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, there are another group of Jews that are saying, what do you want? What did you take us out of Egypt for? If only we would have remained there. V'akatuv yisaper kol ma she'asu kulam. Omar. Pasuk says that one group cried out to God, and the other rejected the prophecy of Moshe, and do not admit, nor do they want the salvation that is being done to them. Better that He shouldn't have saved them. And that's why there is a pasuk in Tehillim that says, "Vayamru al Yam b'Yamsuf." They rebelled against God at the Yamsuf. Who rebelled against God at the Yamsuf? This group that said, "No graves in Egypt." And that's why you took us out. Now the Ramban is going to take us one step further. There are two terms that are used here in Parashat B'Shalach, and in fact there are two terms, two titles that are used throughout. One is B'nei Yisrael, the children of Israel. When we talk about the children of Israel, we're talking about the elite, the pious, the determined, the strong, the ones who will follow God and Moshe anywhere. And then there were the masses of people, Ha'am, the nation are the masses of people, downtrodden, broken, bent, 200 years of slavery. Slavery has destroyed their personalities, has made a horbin. Destruction of the neshama of people who suffered so much they don't have the ability to lift their heads, of frightened people, victims of the circumstances of Mitzrayim. Once you know this, and maybe one more sentence in the Ramban, wherever it says Ha'am, there is something negative about it or non-complimentary, and I say it's not their fault. They're the victims of Sinas Yisrael, of anti-Semitism in one of its worst manifestations. They're victims. Let's look at ourselves. Do we know for how many generations Jews will yet suffer the fallout from a Hitler Yimach Shemayim? What effect it has on children and children's children? Here are a people downtrodden, broken, bent by the experience. And then there's Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael are the ones who are able to maintain themselves and their identity so fiercely and remain human beings, proud human beings, despite the fact that they were under the heel of Mitzrayim. Once you know this, now watch. Let's go back to the beginning of the parasha. Vayihi b'shalach Paro, when Paro sent out, whom did he send out? Ha'am. B'nei Yisrael, it says in Pasuk 8, u'b'nei Yisrael yotzim b'yad ramah, the children of Israel are going out. Who goes out? Who walks out? Who marches out? B'nei Yisrael. But the Am are the ones who are cast out. And therefore God didn't take them in the direction of the land of the Plishtim, because God said, "Pen ye nachem ha'am," lest the people will regret. They're going to change their minds when they see war, and they're going to turn back. And therefore the second pasuk in the parasha, "Vayaseh Elokim et ha'am," God took the am in a circuitous route, not straight to through the land of Plishtim. But v'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael be'eretz Mitzrayim. Who marches out of Mitzrayim? Who goes up out of the land? And who goes up out of the land armed to the teeth, ready to fight? Who are the ones that for years were preparing the implements of war? That's B'nai Yisrael. And the same thing is true later on. Take a look at chapter 14, Pasuk Aleph. God spoke to Moshe so, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and tell them to turn around and start moving in a direction closer to Egypt." God knows precisely who to give that order to. He cannot tell the to do it, because the when they'll see that they're moving back in the direction of Egypt, will be frightened and petrified and terrified, and justifiably so. But God says, "Speak to the children of Bnei Yisrael. Tell them to turn and move closer to Mitzrayim." And that's why at the end of Pasuk 4, it says, "Vayasu chein," and they did so. Who are the ones that did so? B'nai Yisrael. And the followed them. And the followed them. Now when they are caught, there they are caught on the beach. It may be their Dunkirk. I don't know, their Normandy. Who knows what's going to happen on the beach. B'nai Yisrael are the ones that stand up and pray, just as Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did. And the they're the ones, by Yomru and Moshe, they said to Moshe, there are no grave sites in Mitzrayim, that you took us out from Mitzrayim in order to destroy us over here in the desert. Now, I said that this is also going to explain to us all sorts of things from the very beginning of Shemot until now. Just one moment. Okay. I hope this is right. Now, another famous... Let me take you through another few psukim right here in Bishalach. Follow me. Pasuk 13 and 14. And we're going to get back to these two psukim. Vayomer Moshe el ha'am, Moshe said to the people, Moshe says el ha'am, to the masses of the people, al tira'u, don't be afraid. He doesn't say it to B'nai Yisrael, because B'nai Yisrael are the ones who are armed, they're not afraid. They're ready to fight. Vayomer Moshe el ha'am, Moshe said to the Am, al tira'u, don't be afraid, hityatzvu, stand fast, ura'u et Yeshuat Hashem, and see the salvation of God. Asher yaseh lechem hayom, what he will do for you today. Ki asher ri'item et Mitzrayim hayom, the way in which you see Egypt today, lo tosifu lerotam odad olam, you will never see them again. Hashem yilachem lachem, God is going to wage war for you, va'atem tachadishun, and you will remain silent. We're going to get back to these two psukim, they're very important psukim. But I just want to take it a little further. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, God said to Moshe, matitzak elai, what are you crying unto me? Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'iso, speak to the children of Israel and let them journey. In what direction? Straight into the sea. Who can you tell to walk into the sea, march into the swirling waters of the Yam Suf? Who? The Am will do that? Oh, no. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yiso. V'ato and you, harem et matcha, lift up your staff, unetei et yotcha layam uva ka'eu, and stretch out your hand over the sea and split it. V'yavohu b'nei Yisrael v'toch hayam v'yavosha. B'nei Yisrael are the ones who are going to walk into the sea, and then it's going to become dry land. What's going to happen to you now is, whenever you're going to see a pasuk that says B'nai Yisrael or Am, you're going to stop and you're going to think about it, and that's going to be very good. Just like last week, I gave you the difference between al and lo, and you will notice every al and every lo. You're going to notice every B'nai Yisrael and every Ha'am, and you're going to notice it throughout all of Torah. Just think of this year. Think of a snowy day in Yerushalayim whenever you come to B'nai Yisrael and Ha'am. I want to just give you a number of examples of where this becomes terribly important. There's a pasuk that we say in davening every day before the Shira, Vayosha Hashem et Yisrael. Vayomahu, what does it say over there? In chapter 14, Pasuk Lamed, Vayosha Hashem Vayomahu et Yisrael miyad Mitzrayim, God saved on that day Israel from the hands of Mitzrayim. Vayar Yisrael, Israel saw Mitzrayim met dead al Sfat Hayam on the beach. Vayar Yisrael et Hayad Agdola, Israel saw the great hand asher osa Hashem in Mitzrayim that God had done in Egypt. Vayiru ha'am et Hashem. It's only at this moment, finally, that the people begin to fear God. Vayaminu v'Hashem uva Moshe avdo. Only now do they believe in God and in Moshe, his servant. B'nai Yisrael believed in Moshe from the very beginning. It's the that now finally reached the point of fearing God and believing in God and in Moshe, his servant. I'll just give you a number of examples earlier. In a sense, this is what's really taking place between God and Moshe at the burning bush. When Moshe says, "Behold, I'm going to come to them, and they're not going to believe me. They're not going to believe me." In fact, God agrees with Moshe. They're not really going to believe you. They're not really going to believe you. Because they're too broken. They're not yet ready to accept what's going to happen. There are the B'nai Yisrael who will, but not the Am as a whole, and this is what Moshe is concerned about. I'll just here in Sefer, in Parashat Shemot, I'll read from the end of chapter 4. Vayedaber Aaron et kol advarim asher diber Hashem al Moshe, vayas ha'otot le'enei ha'am. Aaron said all of the words that God had spoken to Moshe, and he did the signs before the Am. This is extremely important. God had told him, Moshe said, "Listen, maybe they won't believe me." So God says, "Listen, I'll give you signs to do before them. Take your staff, throw it down, it's going to turn into a snake, then you're going to grab it, and it's going to turn back into a staff. Abracadabra, snake, staff, snake, staff." And then God told him at the snare, "If they don't believe that one, I'll give you another sign. And the other sign is, put your hand into your coat, and you're going to take it out. Presto, it's all white. Put it back in. It's going to look like normal skin again." Before whom does Moshe have to use this kind of proof, so to speak? The B'nai Yisrael don't need this kind of display in order to believe. B'nai Yisrael are the ones who've been waiting all of these years. They remember yet that there was a promise given by Yosef, "Pakod yifkod Hashem olakim etchem," God is going to remember you and he's going to take you out of Mitzrayim. They're the ones, B'nai Yisrael are the ones who were saying every day, "Ani mamin be'emunah shleima b'viat ha-Mashiach," I believe with absolute faith that somebody is going to come to save us out of here. The afal pi sheyit v'meya, even though if it's taking him long to come, I wait for him every day. The ones who lived with an anticipation that the moment will come that God is going to take us out of here with B'nai Yisrael, the had lost all hope. They'd lost all hope. So therefore, who needs the signs? You know who needs the signs? The needs the signs. These so-called miracles. And then Pasuk 31 in chapter 4 says, "Vayamein ha'am," the unbelieved, "Vayishmu," and they heard, "Ki fakad Hashem," and they saw that God had remembered the children of Israel, "V'chira'o et on yom," and he saw their suffering, "Vayigdu," "Vayishtahavu." Will this belief Will it last? No, it's not going to last. At the beginning of Parashat Ve'era, when God is going to send Moshe to speak to the Jewish people, so it's interesting, when he sends him at the beginning of Ve'era, you remember the four Lishonot of Gula, V'Hotzeiti, V'Hitzalti, V'Gaalti, V'Lakachti, it says, L'chein Emor L'vnei Yisrael, say to the children of Israel, Ani Hashem, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to take you out. The time for Geula has come. And here we reach a point where even Bnei Yisrael can't hear anymore, because this is the moment at which Paro had made their suffering greater than it had ever been. And therefore it says, Vayadaber Moshe lefnei Hashem, God speaks before God, and he says, Hein Bnei Yisrael lo shamu alai. The Bnei Yisrael didn't listen to me. They didn't hear me. Eich Yishma'eni Paro. How is Paro going to hear me? In other words, there's a point, and we discussed this last week, where the intensity of the suffering becomes that great that even Bnei Yisrael can't hear what Paro, what Moshe has to say to them. But it's when they reach the depths and they can't go any lower, that's when the process of redemption begins. So, trust me, what the Ramban says here is absolutely true. You're going to see the differences between Am and Bnei Yisrael. And throughout, it will... the different reactions or different responses or what seems to be contradictory is not contradictory. Both are true, side by side. There are the Bnei Yisrael, who never lost hope, and then there is the Am, unfortunately broken by the experience of Mitzrayim. Let's take go back to two psukim, and I want to read a magnificent medrash. Chapter 14, psukim yud gimel and yud dalet in Bishalach, the two psukim before Shlishi. Vayomer Moshe el ha'am, Moshe said to the Am, Al tiro, don't be afraid. Yatzvuru, stand fast, and you will see the salvation of God. Asher yaseh lechem ayom, what he's going to do for you today, because as you see Mitzrayim today, you will never again see them. Forever. God will wage war for you, v'atem tachadishun, and you will remain silent. I want to read the Medrash. I'm going to read it from the Yalkut Shimoni. There are a number of other texts, but this is the basic one. The Medrash says the following. Arba kitos nasu Yisrael alayam. Again, imagine the scene. We're still back at the same scene. It's dark. It's at night. Ominous. Frightening. Jewish people on the desert. On the beach. On the beach. Very edge. The Red Sea is lapping up against the shore. The ominous, foreboding, frightening sea before them. And they hear the hoofbeats of Paro coming after them. Says the Medrash, Arba kitot nasu Yisrael alayam. Israel became... The people became four groups at the sea. Achas omeres, one group said, Nipol layam, let's cast ourselves into the sea. Let's commit mass suicide. Matzada won. Achat omeret, another one said, Nachzol Mitzrayim, let's go back to Egypt. What are we doing here? Let's capitulate. Let's fold up and go back to Egypt. Va'achat omeret, there was another group that said, Na'aseh milchama kinegdan, let's wage war, let's fight. In a sense, this is going to be Israel's last stand. We're going to fight to the end. That's all, so we will die. We'll die with our boots on over here on the beach. This is it. The fourth group said, Va'achat omeret, one said, Nitzaveach kinegdan, let's make a lot of noise. Can you imagine 2 million people making noise? The Egyptians will hear this. They'll just, the decibels. The decibels. They'll make noise. Moshe, in these two psukim, says the Medrash, is responding to all four. Susha omeret, the one that said, Nipol ayam, let's cast ourselves into the sea. To them, he says, Hit Yatzvu, stand fast, don't throw yourself any place. Uru'u, You'll see what's going to happen. The one that said, let's go back to Mitzrayim, that's the second part of this pasuk. The way you saw Mitzrayim today, you will never again see them. You're not going back to Mitzrayim. Forget it. The one that said, let's fight, Hashem yilachem lachem, God will wage war for you. The ones who said, let's make a lot of noise, to him, to them, Moshe says, atem tacharishon, you remain silent. What always fascinated me about this medrash, maybe even troubled me. You know, the scene, it's a classic Jewish scene. Here it is, they are in grave danger. Grave danger. And the Jews are standing on the beach. Ah, I hope we should commit suicide. Then Mishigi bis to commit suicide. Let's go back to Egypt, Father. Jew number three comes over and says, you're both out of your mind, Mishigi bis to. I'm going to go commit suicide. You think I'm going to go back to Mitzrayim? Those are choices. This is what you call options? Let's fight. We're going to fight to the end. At least let's die with dignity. And then a fourth Jew walks over and he hears, listens into this conversation, and he says, what are you talking about? Jump into the sea, I will not do that. Go back to Mitzrayim over Paro's dead body. What are you talking about? Fight, we can fight. What do we know about fighting? To make a lot of noise. We can make a lot of noise. We'll make a lot of noise, we'll scare them. What troubles me is, well, why wasn't there a fifth group? In a sense, there may have been, but I'm wondering, why didn't somebody say, Chevre, what are you talking about? Let's ask Moshe. Didn't he bring us out here? What are you doing? What are you talking about? You have opinions over here. The one who brought us out here, he's the one who's going to have to give us instructions. Can you imagine the next morning? Can you imagine the next morning? You know, sometimes we say all sorts of things and we have all sorts of opinions. And unfortunately, circumstances are such that things change dramatically. But very often we don't look back to the Narishkeit that we said. I don't want to get political, but the Mugurashim, we're not going to give in to any kind of pressure. The government just collapsed last night. No, okay. They should be reminded now of every tough statement that they made. I can imagine the following morning, all of Israel have gone through the most magnificent night in all of history. They marched through the Yam Suf on dry land. Can you imagine the miracles that they saw? And now their enemy is there, Al Svat Hayam, destroyed. If somebody would have thought back to the night before, was I silly. Here I was getting all hot and bothered, and I was campaigning out there that we should commit suicide. Hey, take a look. And each one of them obviously made a terrible mistake. What is it that they see in the morning? What they see in the morning is that there should have been a fifth group, a group that should have said, let's ask Moshe. And therefore, Vayiru ha'omet Hashem, they feared God, Vayaminu b'Hashem u'b'Moshe avdo. That's what happened the next morning. The next morning, what they learned, the experience of the night had taught them that when there is an authorized representative of God, the Shaliach Hashem, the Mashiach Hashem, he is the one to whom they have to turn. Beautiful Meshech Chochmah, that Meir Simcha on this pasuk, Hashem Yilachem Lachem, Va'atem Tacharishun, very, very beautiful. The Medrash says the following. The Medrash says, Lo b'sha'azu bilvad Yilachem Lachem, not only at this hour will God wage war for you, Elo la'olam, forever, throughout history, Yilachem kenegdom shel oyeveichem, God is going to wage war against your enemies. Meshech Chochmah wants to explain, what does it mean? I imagine what's bothering him is, has God always waged war with the enemies of Israel? No, it hasn't always. Not every moment in history when we could have used a miracle, was there a miracle? So what does the Mechilta, what does the Medrash mean? That God will always wage war against your enemies. Meshech Chochmah says the following. At this particular moment in history, that night, on the beach, the Jewish people had a right to demand of God that he save them. Simple. You brought us here. You took us out of Egypt. You made all sorts of promises. They had a right to be upset. Is that always going to be true in history? There may be moments in history when we're not justified in making demands on God. Maybe we just haven't been that good. We don't always have a right to demand of him. We don't always have a right to say, you owe it to us. We can't always say, magia lanu. Es kommt uns. You owe this to us. Even under those circumstances, the Medrash says, God is going to come to the aid and the assistance of the Jewish people. Hashem yilachem lechem, God is going to wage war for you, even at a moment, v'atem tacharishun, at a moment that you're silent and you can't demand it of him. It may also be that Rav Meir Simcha is learning that the end of Pasuk 13 is connected to the beginning of Pasuk 14. Ad olam Hashem yilachem lechem. What are the last words in Pasuk 14? The way you've seen Mitzrayim today, you will never again see them. Ad olam, forever. Now read from Ad Olam. Ad Olam Hashem Yilachem Lachem. Forever God will wage war for you, even at Va'atem Tachadishun, even at a moment when you are silent, when you can't demand it of him. That means God has all sorts of calculations. We are not the ones who are privy to God's plans. And if there are those who will say, wow, to this state, God does miracles for this Zionist state, we are not God's balabatim. God is the one who decides when he is going to wage war for the Jewish people. And ad olam, forever, Hashem yilachem lechem, God will wage war for us, and va'atem tacharishun, even at a time when we cannot demand it. I don't mean, of course, that this historic period is so. We are living in a historic period where we do have a right. We do have a right to make demands of God. Following the Shoah, there's an account. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky often said that the establishment of the State of Israel was God's response to the Shoah, in a sense, because following the Shoah, Jews were losing their faith. The terrible question, where was God at Auschwitz, was a burning one. While there is no answer to the question, the establishment of the State of Israel took the sharpness out of the question, and we were able to say, if we don't know where he was at Auschwitz, we certainly know where he was and when he was in Eretz Yisrael. So in our period, we have the right to demand, and God understood that. In terms of other moments in history, they said, ad olam, forever, Hashem yilachem lechem, God will wage war for you, even if you remain silent. One more theme that at least I will begin to deal with now, and it's all related to what we've been talking over the last number of weeks. There is a process of transformation. We demonstrated how Paro begins to move from freedom to slavery, from independence to bondage, the collapse, the crumbling of the Egyptian Empire, and the development and growth of the Jewish people as they begin to feel the sense of freedom. This development is also true with regard to their relation to Moshe. There are two psukim that we read during the course of this year. One is in Parashat Shemot, when Moshe comes to the Jewish people and he does the signs and the miracles. So it says, "Vayamein ha'am." The people believed. They believed Moshe. They believed that God had remembered his people. In Parshat Vayera, we saw already that they're not ready to listen anymore because of the intensity of the slavery. The word emunah, we've said a number of times in this sedra, the famous pasuk, Vayaminu v'Hashem, they believed in Hashem, uva Moshe avdo, and in Moshe his servant. So twice we already have psukim that talk about the people believing Moshe. Then comes the pasuk in Parashat Yitro. in chapter 19, an extremely important pasuk. Chapter 19, pasuk 9. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, God said to Moshe, Hinei anochi bo elecha ba'avhe onon. Behold, I am coming to you in a thick cloud, ba'avur yishma ha'am, in order that the people should hear, b'dabri imach, ba'avur yishma ha'am, in order that the am should hear, the nation should hear when I speak with you, v'gam b'cho yaminu la'olam, and in you they will believe forever. Vayaged Moshe et divrei ha'am al Hashem. Moshe said the words of the arm to God. They had said, Na'aseh, we're going to accept Na'aseh v'nishma. This is the third pasuk where it says that the people will believe in Moshe. But wait a minute, it said in Shmot that they believed him. It said in B'Shalach at the Yamsuf that they believed him. And now it says that God tells him, I'm going to speak to you, and the people will stand there and hear me speak to you in order that they should believe in you forever. So there is an absolutely splendid perek in the Rambam in Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah, and I'm just going to give you a number of the fundamental principles that are enunciated by the Rambam in that chapter. And a number of things will become clear, I believe, as a result. The eighth chapter of Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah. Just a few sentences I will quote, and the rest I will elaborate on. Says the Rambam, Moshe Rabbeinu lo he'eminu bo Yisrael mipnei ha'otot she'asa. The Jewish people did not believe in Moshe because of the signs and the miracles that he did. Why? She'ha'ma'amin al pi ha'otot. Anybody who believes in signs and miracles, yesh belipo dofi, in his mind there always remains a doubt. It may be in the subconscious, it may not come to the fore for a little while, but the abracadabra, the staff, snake, staff, there's something that's extremely impressive about it at the moment that it happens, but with the passage of time, the impression that it makes begins to weaken, and then men may even turn around and begin to think, wait a minute, was that sleight of hand? Was it voodoo? Was it black magic? Anybody who believes because of signs and miracles, there's always belief, in his heart there's dofi. Dofi means a doubt, and the doubt may not be there at the moment that one sees the great event. It's not convincing. It's impressive. It may be temporarily overwhelming, but it's not convincing. It does not smack of complete truth. Therefore, the Rambam brings us to the next principle. All of the signs and miracles that Moshe Rabbeinu did, and he's going to mention three of them of Parshat B'Shalach, whatever he did only because necessity dictated and demanded it. They were caught on the Yam Suf, and they had to cross the Yam Suf. He stretched out his hand by the command of God, and he split the sea. They're going to need water. He brings water from a rock. They're going to need bread later on in Parshat B'Shalach. He's going to bring bread down from heaven. He never did signs and miracles in order to prove that he is speaking truth. And even at the snare, when God tells him, when you come to the people, do the staff, snake, staff sign, or put your hand into your coat and bring it out, it's going to be full of tzarat, put it back, it'll become new again. God himself over there is aware that they may not be impressed, and therefore the pasuk there says, if they won't believe the first sign, then do the second sign. That's already an indication that God himself understands, you know, they may or they may not. And when they do believe, it's only temporarily. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu did during the course of the 40 years that they were in the desert that was supernatural, he only did it because they needed that at the time. He never presented that to them as proof. You want to know that I am speaking the true word of God? Not the Ozos. Ubameha minubos. So the Rambam asks, and how did Jews finally believe in him? So he says, b'ma'amad har Sinai, when they came to Mount Sinai, she'einenu ra'u, our own eyes saw it, v'lo zar, not a stranger, v'aznenu sham'u, our ears heard it, v'lo acha, we saw and we heard the fire, the sounds, the shofar, the fire coming from the mountain, v'unigash el ha'arofel, and we watched Moshe as he walked toward the cloud, and we heard the voice of God speaking to Moshe. Moshe, Moshe, God said, go tell them such and such. We heard God speaking to Moshe. And so it says, ponim befonim, face to face, diber Hashem, God spoke with you. And how do we know that the truth, the legitimacy of Moshe Rabbeinu was only the result of Maimed Har Sinai? The pasuk that we just read, the third pasuk where it talks about belief, where God says, hineni boi lecha, hine, behold, I'm coming to you in the thick cloud to speak with you. Tavur yishmaham, in order that the people should hear b'dabri imach, when I speak with you, v'gam b'cha yaminu la'olam. Only then will they believe in you, will they believe in you forever. I have a feeling that with this Rambam, we can answer one of the great questions that Jews ask. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one, he came to Mitzrayim, he did the Makos, Dam Sadeh, Kina Morah, Zeh, Vishrim, Korah, Darbe, Choshe, Makos, Becheres, Betzach, Hadash, Bachav, he took him to the Yamsuf, the one who stood before Paro and said, Shalachat Ami, send out my people, the Avduni, they should serve me, and comes the night of Pesach, and we go through a whole Haggadah, and never once do we say, Moshe did, Moshe went, Moshe came, Moshe said, Moshe spoke, Moshe got angry. Not a word about Moshe. In fact, the name of Moshe doesn't appear in the Haggadah except once. This pasuk in Parshat Bishalach, Vayaminu b'Hashem uva Moshe Avdo, the pasuk right before the Shira, and you know this is Shabbos Shira coming up, and not only is Shabbos Shira coming up, it's a double whammy. It's going to be Tu Bishvat Shabbos Shira, which is very, very special. Okay, that pasuk does appear in the Haggadah. So the question is, why don't we say something about Moshe? I believe the reason why we don't mention Moshe is because of the healthy sense of Klal Yisrael. The Rambam. What do we talk about the whole night of Pesach? The whole night of Pesach is miracles, signs, otot, motim, niflaot, bam, tzadeya, kinim, right? We don't mention Moshe that night in order to make clear that Moshe is not special to us because he did those signs and miracles. Which is the yontif of Moshe? The yontif of Moshe is Shavuos. Shavuos is the yontif of Moshe. Moshe is the key and central figure of Shavuos, because Shavuos is Maimed Har Sinai, revelation of Mount Sinai, and that's what God says. I'm going to come to you, I'm going to speak to you in the presence of the whole nation so that they should believe in you forever. We didn't want to leave the impression with Klal Yisrael as though we believe in Moshe because of the Tzach HaDash B'Achav of the night of Pesach. And if anything, maybe we say that pasuk, Vayaminu, they believed in God and in Moshe Avdo, in order to show us that even with all of the great miracles and signs, even that belief of the Yam Suf was not enough. What was needed was the Shavuos that was going to come. The Rambam at times emerges not only as the great decider in Halacha, there are times at which the Rambam also appears as the great Parshan HaMikra, the great commentator on Torah. There is an extremely difficult pasuk in Parashat Shemot at the snare, an extremely difficult pasuk, and the Rambam explains it on the basis of what he said up until now. I just want to take you back to that pasuk in Parashat Shemot, and with that we're going to close. God is speaking to Moshe at the snare. All right? Back in Parashat Shemot, we're in chapter 3.
chapter 3. Pasuk 14. Pasuk 12. Moshe had said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should take the Jewish people out of Egypt?" By Yomer, Pasuk 12, God said, "Ki ehye imach, I will be with you. V'zelecha ha'ot, ki anochi shalachticha, this is the sign that I have sent you. V'hotziacha et ha'ami Mitzrayim, when you take the people out of Egypt, ta'avdune et ha'elukim ala harazeh, you will serve God on this mountain." Do you know how difficult it is even to read that pasuk? God appears to Moshe at the snare and he tells him, "Go to Egypt, tell old Pharaoh, let my people go." So Moshe begins the process of refusal. His first refusal is, "Who am I that I should go to Paro and take the Jewish people out of Egypt? Who am I? Mi anochi ki elecha Paro v'chi yotziat b'nei Yisrael mi'mitzchayim." Ayomis, so God says, "I'm going to be with you." And what's the sign? The sign is that 3 months after you come out of Egypt, you're going to serve God on this mountain. Could you please explain to me what God is telling Moshe? He needs a sign now. He doesn't have confidence that he can take them out, or he doesn't feel he's the right one to take them out. So God says, "Don't worry, I'll prove it to you. After you take them out, 3 months later, they're going to serve God on this mountain." What's the passage say? Moshe wants proof now. Moshe wants to be convinced now. So what's God telling him? Go to Paro. But he doesn't want to go to Paro. He feels unworthy to go to Paro. He feels that he's not up to the task. So God says, "Don't worry, I'll prove it to you that you're up to the task." How will I prove it to you? Because after you come out of Egypt, you will serve God on this mountain. You can't even say the passage. The whole passage doesn't make any sense. Says the Rambam the following. What Moshe is concerned about is that he's going to come to the Jewish people and he's going to tell them, "I've come here to take you out. God has sent me." Moshe Rabbeinu is concerned they're not going to believe him. They're not going to believe him. He understands that God can give him some fancy staff work to do. And they'll be impressed. Moshe Rabbeinu knows that they're not going to be impressed for terribly long, and for that matter Moshe Rabbeinu himself is not impressed with it. He wants to know whether the mission that he's going to go on is a mission that's going to last. Is there something eternal that's going to emerge from this mission? They'll believe and then they won't believe, they will accept and then they won't accept, they'll be impressed and then they won't be impressed, they'll be convinced and then they won't be convinced. What's going to come out of this that's going to be lasting? God understands exactly what's troubling Moshe. So at the very outset, in God's first response to Moshe, he says, "Vayomer, ki eyei mach, I will be with you. V'zeh lecha ha'ot." You know what the real sign is going to be? You know what the lasting sign is going to be? Do you know what is going to make your mission a mission forever? Do you know what's going to give permanence and eternity to everything that we're undertaking? What's going to be the proof that I sent you to the Jewish people? Not the signs and not the miracles and not the supernatural. When you take the people out of Egypt, they're going to serve me on this mountain. And on this mountain, they're going to hear me speak directly to you. And therefore, they're going to believe in you forever. At the very outset, God is telling him, I know what's going to happen over the next year. It's going to be a process of a year and 3 months. I know what's going to happen. They're going to believe and they're not going to believe. There will be moments of great exhilaration and then there will be moments of depression. There are going to be highs and there are going to be lows. The process of redemption is not one straight upward line on a graph. The process of Geula has its ups and its downs. There will be difficulties. There are going to be obstacles to overcome, problems that are going to have to be solved. All sorts of things are going to happen. What's going to make it lasting and what's going to make you the messenger who brings the word of God to the Jewish people, the real oath, is going to be
when they come to Mount Sinai.
Then, when they're going to hear and they're going to see me speak to you, then Jews are going to believe you forever.
Just one final interesting statement that's made by the Rambam. Rambam says, what about prophets during history? A person is going to come and say that he's a prophet. So there it says that if he says a sign or a miracle is going to come, so we believe him. We believe him because of the sign and the miracle. So the question is, so the halacha is, but what happens if this prophet says, come, Rabbi Kadoza, we don't want you standing out in the cold. It's cold. It's fine. We're so happy that you came. Says the Rambam the following, that when a prophet is going to arise and he's going to make signs and miracles, we believe him. Not Moshe. Moshe we didn't believe in because of the signs and miracles. We believed in Moshe because we saw ourselves and we heard God speaking to him. If another prophet is going to arise and he's going to do signs and miracles, and then he will say that he rejects the prophecy of Moshe. He wants to undo, like he's been given a new Torah, and the new Torah is maybe it's a Torah of love and not a Torah of law. And let's, I'm a prophet, and Moshe was a prophet. So I can come along, new prophet says, and reject that which was said by Moshe. The moment that he rejects or denies anything that was said by Moshe, the moment at which he wants to abrogate any law of Torah, we know immediately that he is a false prophet. Why? Because there's a bigger question. If we don't believe Moshe because of signs and miracles, why do we believe a prophet throughout history who's going to make signs and miracles, and the Torah says we should believe him? Why do we believe him? So the Rambam says, you know why we believe him? We believe him for two reasons. Number one, we believe him because Moshe said to believe him. Because Moshe said in Torah, somebody is going to come as a prophet, and he's going to do signs and miracles. Listen to him. In what sense is there validity to what the prophet says? Could be he's lying. That's true. But there are laws. For example, we believe two witnesses who are going to come before Sanhedrin, before a Bet Din. We believe two witnesses. Is it possible that the two witnesses are lying? Of course it's possible that they're lying. But we need a system. There has to be judgment. There has to be justice. So Torah tells us, listen to two witnesses. Listen to what they say. Justice, Torah says, listen to two witnesses. Torah says, listen to this prophet. But the only thing is, if this prophet is now going to say that he rejects Moshe, what he's really doing is he's pulling out the rug from under him. Why do we believe the prophet? Because he did signs and miracles. Who told us to listen to a prophet who does signs and miracles? Moshe Rabbeinu. But what happens if he rejects Moshe Rabbeinu? If he rejects Moshe Rabbeinu, then we have no responsibility to listen to a person who does signs and miracles. So therefore, he is rejected as a false prophet. The sum total of what we are saying is the important principle that is established by the Rambam. Klal Yisrael did not believe in Moshe because of the signs and the miracles. A person who believes in the supernatural and that establishes for him principles is really a person who will ultimately be in doubt, because there's always a little bit of doubt. We're never, never, ever certain. The only thing that established the credibility and the eternal validity of the word of Moshe is revelation at Mount Sinai. So therefore we watch the progression. In Parshat Shemot it says, "Vaya'amein ha'am," the people believed. Still was not enough. In Parshat Beshalach it says, "Vayiru ha'am et Hashem, vayaminu ba'Hashem." They believed in Hashem and in Moshe Avdo. That was still not enough. In both of those places, it is a belief that's temporary. It has a time limit. At some moment, doubt will rise again. The only reason why we believe in Moshe Ad Hayom Hazeh, we study Torah Moshe, and we keep Torah or mitzvah that were given to us by Moshe is because of the great revelation at Mount Sinai, where we heard and we saw God speaking to Moshe, God saying to Moshe, Lech emor lehem, go tell them kach v'kach, tell them such and such. Okay, so I think we've taken you through a B'shalach Paro et Ha'am, the difference between Am and B'nai Yisrael, the groupings of Jews at the Yamsuf, and ultimately what they are able to achieve in terms of their belief in Moshe. And I didn't believe we'd have a class at 8:30 this morning. I thought, hey, was it time? But there it is again, Jerusalem College for Adults never closes down. Okay.